peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is John's Gospel and the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. You may be seated. Eternity is a very difficult concept for us to grasp. I'd say that here on this side of eternity, it's actually an impossible concept for us to grasp. It's just not within the realm of possibility for our human minds to be able to do that, to wrap our minds around the thought of something that has absolutely no beginning and no end, causes our head to spin. We try to make sense of the concept by going back to creation, where God spoke absolutely everything into existence. And that's fine. And yet, even at that point in time, God was. And God hadn't been just for a short period of time at that point. He was from eternity. Again, a concept that we can't really grasp. But even then, we have to understand that there's the other side of eternity as well. That life that was promised by God to all of us as believers. And even that can be a little bit overwhelming for us to try to understand. Despite the questions we have that are going to remain unanswered until that day when we're in the presence of God Himself and all of the things that we don't know right now will be revealed to us, that concept of living forever, even though we don't understand it, is absolutely fascinating to us. It's so fascinating to the human mind that we mortals, for all time, have sought to figure out the key to a longer life, the key to trying to figure out on our own how we might live forever, searching for the right combinations of foods and herbs, exercise and diet, or maybe the fountain of youth that will give us a day or a month or a decade longer to live here on this earth. And ultimately, the goal is to find the key to live forever. And yet, the reality is that in this post-Eden world in which we live, all of our best efforts will ultimately fall short and result in the same disappointing conclusion. In a sin-filled world, no matter how we cut it, no matter how we do it, life is ultimately going to end in death. If that's news for you that you're just hearing today, then I'm sorry. But it's true. Life will ultimately end in death. And that's exactly what happened to Lazarus, and what's going to happen to each and every one of us every single day. And so, our earthly reality, the one that colors all of our thinking, is one that has a beginning and one that has an end. Birth and then death, and then some number of years in between those two events. And our text today from John chapter 11 reminds us that the world that we think that we see so clearly, the one from earthly birth to earthly death, is actually not the reality that God wants us to be focused on. For Jesus came not to show us how to be born and how to die, but to show us the way to live forever. And it's not about our diet, it's not about exercise, it's not about the fountain of youth. As we begin to grasp this reality of what Jesus is teaching us, we understand most clearly that believers in Christ will never die. Of course, that physical death is a reality that we're all going to face. But Christ uses that reality as a means to teach his followers the even greater reality that all who believe in him will never die. And today we hear from John how there will be physical death that not only affects the deceased, but also all of those who are around them. And we'll more importantly focus on the words of Jesus himself, which are for each and every one of us the key to understanding the eternal life that's been promised to us. As far as we know, we humans are the only creatures that God created and placed on this earth that are aware of the fact that we're going to die. We see and we hear about death all around us. We can't avoid that kind of news. If you still get the newspaper or if you look at it online, I imagine one of the first places that you go when you open that up or click on it is to the obituaries, right? To figure out who in this week has died. The fear of death is all around us as we focus on all of the things that could cause that earthly death to us. And even if we could get past our own particular fears regarding death, we'd still realize that throughout the world, every single day, approximately 150,000 people die. Every single day. And the majority, actually every single one of those deaths, are due to the nature of the life that we live in, a world where our days are numbered from the very second that we're born. We understand that we only have so many years to live on this earth, and yet death is one of the greatest fears that we humans face. And I say one of the greatest fears because there was a study done a number of years ago that says death is actually the second greatest fear that people face, next to public speaking being the first one. John doesn't give us the account of how Lazarus felt or any of the things that he said in those days that were leading up to his death, but he does give us the emotions of those who were close to him. Many of the Jews had come to comfort this family that was in Bethany. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, those siblings, were prominent within the church. And they lived in a town that was only a couple of miles from Jerusalem. And then when Jesus shows up 4 days after Lazarus has died, he's confronted by a distraught Martha. She comes out to him on the road and she says, "My Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Yet Jesus had other plans. He had another purpose for his actions beyond simply healing another sick man. He'd done that over and over again. They'd seen what he was capable of doing in that arena. He didn't need to do that again. The reading that we had from the gospel today was actually jumping into this account. The whole thing is really the entirety of chapter 11. And so we missed the first 16 verses. In verse 11, as we look back, we hear, "When he heard that Lazarus was ill," and this is speaking of Jesus, "he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." It's clear that Jesus was in no hurry to get to Lazarus. He was in no hurry to deal with this situation that everybody else felt was so important. And the reason was because he had other plans for the situation. He had other plans for this encounter with the family of Lazarus, and also for everyone else who was going to see and hear what he was about to do. He speaks to his disciples regarding the situation by telling them that the death of Lazarus was for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And then he also says to them, "so that you may believe." As if they didn't believe based on all of the other things that they'd seen, but they'd never seen him do this. They'd never seen him raise a man from the dead. So Jesus let Lazarus die, even though there was something that he could have done about it. And he did it so that he might teach the world an even greater lesson than the fact that he was capable of healing people. He needed everyone there, and he needs us as well to know that he has the power to conquer death. And he did so with Lazarus, but he'd also prove it with his own conquering of death on the cross and through his resurrection, not all that long after this encounter with Lazarus. But his interaction with Martha in her grief and in her despair is instructive for us. It teaches us that we have to grapple with this eternal life that we've been promised. And Martha is certainly grappling with what it is that Jesus means. Where was Martha's mind at that moment when she approached Jesus outside of her house, when she ran up to him on the road? It was, in fact, in two separate places. It was in the past, dwelling on what has already happened, and then it was on the future, thinking about what was going to happen. And neither of those places were where Jesus desired Martha's mind to be. So he redirects her to what's most important. If you recall, perhaps the most well-known story about Martha is when Jesus visits the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus there in Bethany. And we have it recorded for us in Luke chapter 10. It's when Jesus visits that home and Martha is so busy about the preparations, all the things that are necessary when Jesus comes to visit you, and Mary is just sitting around listening, right? Martha gets upset. She's worried about the fact that Mary's not helping her. And Jesus quiets her with those simple words. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things, but Mary has chosen the better portion, which will not be taken away from her." What words of comfort. And I can just imagine Jesus saying something like those same words to Martha as she comes so anxious, so frightened, so worried on the road. Saying something like, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things. Your mind is on the past when you say that if I had been here, your brother would not have died. But don't worry about that. It's in the past. And your mind is on the future when you say, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. That's true, and yet I am here in the present, saying to you, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Jesus takes Martha out of the past. He takes her out of the future, and he places himself rightly in front of her with those words spoken in the present tense, "I am the resurrection and the life." And Jesus says the same thing to us today. He is the resurrection and the life for us right now. In our sorrow over the death of a loved one, in our grief about all of those who suffer in some way today, in our fear about what tomorrow might bring, he is the resurrection and the life. And when we were baptized into his death and into his resurrection, and we still live in it today. We're not waiting for eternal life to be a reality for us. At whatever point it is that God calls us home when we die, we're living in it today as those who participate in the life of Christ through our own baptisms. And to show Martha and everyone who were witnesses to this miraculous event that he was serious about being the resurrection and the life in the here and now, Jesus calls Lazarus out of that tomb. And he doesn't just say, "Come on out of there, man." If he had done that, the whole cemetery would have risen on that day. But he calls Lazarus by name. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus, that man who had been dead for 4 days, came out of his grave without a protest about the fact that he had been brought back from his eternal rest and peace. He simply came out in obedience to the voice of the Lord. Isaiah 43 tells us, "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine." And he does the same for each of us. He calls us to be his own. He calls us out of our own death in sin and gives us that very same promise. "I am the resurrection and the life." Here and now, we are living in the eternity that he promised for us. Because we, like Lazarus, hear the voice of God calling out to us, offering us that very same eternal life. We don't need to look for it anywhere else or try to find it in anything else other than in the promises of our Lord and Savior. And one day, when our time on this earth has come to a close, and we, like Lazarus, are enjoying the eternal rest from our labors, Christ is going to call out to our bodies once again and say to them, "Come out." And in that moment, we'll experience the fullness of eternal life, resurrected like Jesus and fully and forever in his presence. We certainly can't comprehend that fullness today, but in that day we will. To believe in Jesus is to have his resurrection and his life right now. Our Lord let Lazarus die so that he could teach us and teach the entire world this reality. May the Holy Spirit, who comes to us through his word, teach us this also, that we too may believe and have eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.